This seminar is on the use of publicity and promotion in your program for the church. And we just want to share some principles, some practical things that can help you. And I know the people on this tape are going to have a hard time seeing some of the things I'm going to show. But we'll go anyway. On this first sheet on the criticisms of the average church program, I think some of these things are really very, very helpful. The first one is, churches spend too much money on poor advertising. And I think this, as I want to emphasize tonight, has a great deal to say about how we think about what we're doing and what other people see in their advertising. I think that's the underlying thing that I want to see tonight. Very little knowledge of what a good program is or a good publicity piece is. A lack of careful planning. How many things have you gotten from other churches or have you done yourself that they left the date off or they didn't know what time they were going to leave, what time they were going to come back, or you didn't know yet and so you didn't put that on and say, I'll let you know this at a later date. Or if you don't know what you're going to do, you say this will be a mystery outing, but you plan it later. You know, that kind of thing. And I think a lot of publicity just simply is doesn't have the detailed planning done prior to the publicity going out. Okay? No persistent program, nothing that is consistent as far as time-wise and so forth in your program, nothing that has anything about it that people can count on. Use of too much use of the pastor's picture. There are many, many people who use this, and I think, you know, that there may be reasons that people do it, but this is one of the criticisms that have come from just survey type thing. Too much use of the pastor's picture or the minister's use picture or whoever's picture can be a problem. Too much about sermon topics instead of church activity. I think that goes keeping in mind the interest of the readers. I think the sermon topic is important, but it's also important to really convey to the people just what is coming up in detail. The criticism of going overboard on sensationalism. There's a real danger in churches a lot of times promote everything as being the greatest thing that ever happened. And sooner or later, everybody sees through that. And then when something really is going to be great, anything you've ever had, you say that, you don't believe you. It's like a little boy cried wolf, you know. It applies also in promotion. Number 8 is not enough human interest appeal. It's too much just stark facts, plain stuff that doesn't really appeal to people wherever they are. And then no creativity. How many of us are doing publicity in the same way this year as we did last year? Is there any variation between the things you did for the last retreat and which you publicized in this retreat? You know, the real creativity can go a great distance in really getting across what you're trying to say. Now, there are all kinds of things of publicity within the church, and I just listed some things here about church bulletins. I didn't try to get into that. Because most of us don't have a responsibility for that. Some of you perhaps have it, but not most. Posters, some suggestions about that. Bulletin boards, inside and outside, are usable. The next thing I really want to emphasize is direct mail, because I know in my ministry, other than just thinking about publicity in general, direct mail out is one of the main things that we use in trying to reach kids or publicize things. And I think this is, under the general observation, this number one. That these four things are extremely important. Whenever we're going to mail something or try to send something to somebody, that we need to keep in mind the sender, the product, the medium that we're going to use, and the guy who's going to get it, the recipient. And I think all of those are important because if I send something to the kid or to anybody, there should be something about the character of that publicity that says something about the sender. You know, and I think that's extremely important in that stationery too, you know, to really to reflect somewhat of the character of what our philosophy is and this sort of thing. So remember who's sending it, you know. The product is the thing we're trying to sell and try to create the interest around the product, if it's a retreat, if it's a revival, whatever it is. Keep that in mind. And then the medium, how can I best sell that product? What is the best way to go about promoting this, and then keep the people in mind, whether it's a sixth grader or whether it's a senior in high school. And keep those things in my extremely important. Now, I went on and gave some more suggestions about the letter and the postcards and so forth. Postcards, to me, the greatest advantage of postcards are quickie reminders or just something that you have to say, like, don't forget, your money has to be in Sunday, you know. Very brief type things. I think it's a mistake to try to send postcards with a great deal of just cover the whole card with writing, you know. It's really exciting to read that. Look at number six, then, your oral announcements in church. It's very similar to any publicity. Is number one thing that I have seen happen now when we make an announcement to kids is if you don't get their absolute undivided attention before you start making announcements, they'll never hear what you say. And anything that you can do creatively to get their attention is extremely important. Oral announcements. Don't get the, well, we got the announcements before, I'm going to remind you, so-and-so, you know that? That gets old. We had a guy that was a trainee in our church from Tupelo, Mississippi, that came, and he got the thing of using a puppet. And he was a clown with a puppet. And I'd never used puppets. I mean, I just had never used them in my ministry. And so he would get over to the piano and strike up a conversation with whoever's in charge, you know. And the kids just responded to that. Just the first time he did it, just unbelievable. And just really picked up everything he said. So this little thing to get their attention that really might be different. These other suggestions here, the over-sensational idea again, really comes across to me. Be honest in your announcement if it's going to be sort of a regular thing. You know, don't feel it as being the greatest happening that ever happened to your church. I think you can kill yourself with that sort of thing. Okay, other thing, other methods of publicity, the telephone, and the best one is by word of mouth. Of course, person to person. I do more in listening for retreats one-on-one than any other way. Just talking to a kid and this thing to go. Visual aids, media presentations, use of slides or pictures that you've had at previous same type events can really be tremendous. I think Hank will probably get into that a little bit when he comes. Now, just hang on to that, and you may want to look at it. You might want to throw it away. Okay, question?
On page 4,
okay. Yeah, my secretary missed that besides this. The first one I think was just a non-cooperative that the news media is just not usable by the church. You know, talking about the newspaper. Another attitude is, the fact that the newspaper will not cooperate with me. They're too big for the little things we're doing, so I'm not going to do it. The other one is that, I don't know what they're trying to think. But the whole three attitudes were trying to point out the fact that that the newspaper is a very valid possibility, and that you'll find that get to know the religious editor of your paper and get to know him personally, not over the phone, but just go down and talk to him. And you can get some free publicity about some things that way, and it's very useful to a certain extent. And so it's usable. That number C there, I think, is worthy of note, too. Some criticism of the church news by newspapers. Facts not always correct and complete, too much editorial comment. You know, a newspaper wants the facts. They don't want the comment, not commentary. The monotony of material sensitivity. You ever look through the church things for Sunday in your paper? Has the name of the church and the summer front and everyone on this is. And it's no creativity. And I think that's one of the things that they're very monotonous. Every time you look at the religious page in the paper, it's very much the same. Of course, I think some of them, they help with that sometimes. So forth. We read all that. I think that the criticism that from newspapers, as we approach them, I think the way that we give them publicity material and the thoroughness with which we prepare it and lay it out and everything and take it to them says to them how important what we're doing really is. If you just scroll with a bunch of scribbled out things with incomplete and handed to them and tell them this is what you want to put in there, that says something to that person about the importance of what you're doing. And so I think that we just need to keep that scripture passage in mind that whatever you do, you do it to the glory of God. Even in public, but to the very best. Okay? let's take this green sheet, and that's where I want to spend the majority of our time. But I want to share some things with you. I want you all to share too, because y'all have some ideas that I'll need, and I just want to help each other. My secretary also left the title off of this. This is Philosophy of Publicity in the Church. And that's kind of grown out of some experiences that I've had, as well as some things that I have learned from other people. And let's just go through it. I think if you don't have a philosophy about publicity, that you really need to think through it, you know, just in your mind. You don't need to necessarily write it out, but to really know what your philosophy of publicity is. I think it should honor the Lord. I think that every piece of publicity that I put out, I should be unashamed of, and the quality that I should do my very best with it. And I'm not saying that we have to use all the Madison Avenue techniques to spend a whole lot of money. But keeping in mind my budget and who I'm sending it to and everything, I need to be doing the very best that I can. And so discipline myself to learn a little bit about it. And so that's just my own personal philosophy about it. The quality is number one thing, be the very best. Let me show you an example. Look at these two brochures. They're exactly the same size when they fold out. Now, which one speaks of quality? Okay. Now, which one costs the most? That one, too. So you see, you've got to keep in mind that. This is the one for this conference. And it folds out. It has some very nice screen pictures on it. Three colors. And if you just work in front of it, you know that when you get into colors and colored papers, you're talking about money. This one is one that we did at our church, and it didn't cost really anything except just to run it off with one screen picture. And so you have to, but I think the layout of it is neat, and it conveys what we wanted to say. So I think what you need to do when you start talking about quality is also remember, you know, the thriftiness with which your publicity.
What kind of
picture is that? This is just the offset. Offset press. How many of y'all have an offset press that you use? How many of you have mimeograph? Okay. How many of you just get everything printed? Wonderful. Okay. If your church has not thought about this, I would really encourage you to even look into an offset thing. It's not that expensive. And boy, it'll save you money in the long run and some things that you usually get printed. And it will just give a tremendous appearance to just ordinary typed up stuff compared to the mimeograph.
Also, you can use the mimeograph.
Yes, you have to have a master made with a screen print. I mean, of a screen picture. I'll talk about that in just a minute. Okay. Right now, all of our secretaries are capable of using all the equipment, and like in Green Street, for instance, where Al is, they have a printer. And still have it. Debbie Tunney was just one secretary there. Basically, they used to have just a printer. And everything was done and taken to him, and he did it. They did their church bulletin and everything up and off that day. No, he's there all the time. He was. That was his job. Yeah. Very, very simple to operate, though. So
okay.
So you can do a lot of the same things though with an offset and with a mimeograph against an offset. And also there are a lot of these quick print places around, like Copycat and Speed Copy and Quick Print. They have a lot of these things. They're a little expensive for the ordinary thing, but if you're going to do like say something once a month, I think you could take an original down to a Copycat in Roanoke and get something like 600 copies for $10 or $12, and that includes the paper. And of course, when you start speaking up the cost of paper and the time that your secretary would spend duplicating it, that's not far off, but it's probably double what you would ordinarily pay if you could do it yourself. But those kind of things for special events, you can get a real good job fairly inexpensively. Okay, now, the second thing I had on here about the honor of the Lord is that I really feel like that publicity should ultimately glorify God and not the individual. One thing that bothers me a great deal, now you may disagree with me totally on this, but one thing that bothers me about a lot of revival publicity in particular is the large picture of the evangelist. And the whole thing of a revival is the picture of the evangelist. That bothers me because I feel like that doesn't ultimately glorify God. That's a personal opinion. But I really feel like that in our publicity, we need to be careful about this number three, which goes along with that, that everything we put in there must be distinctively Christian, not questionable methods, questionable pictures, questionable gimmicks, or anything to get attention, to be sure that it's distinctively Christian, so to glorify God in all that we do. It should be consistent. The second thing is we should be consistent with our philosophy of ministry and reflect it. If my ministry is basically a ministry which emphasizes discipleship as over against just an activity thing, then my publicity should reflect that. We should be consistent in our philosophy of ministry with the kind of publicity we put out. I think that's integrity. If your church is a very formal, worshiping church, ours has a formal worship service, very formal. And they have a very formal bulletin. Some churches do not have a real formal type of service, a very informal service, may have a more of an informal type. And I think that's reflected in our publicity and in our promotion of this sort of thing. So I just throw that in. Number C. Now this is key. It must communicate. No matter how pretty it is, if the message isn't received, publicity is no good. You can spend all the time and money you want to making something pretty, but if it doesn't get the message across, it's useless. Like my coach in basketball used to say, says no matter how fancy your pass is, if it doesn't reach the guy you're throwing to, it's not a good pass.
That's
okay.
Something
that failed.
I remember a big campaign, remember I went to be with the big thing for both supply and the supply. So we pick up the scene of the election and publicize it to this and able to spend the effort to get them on things and also post the flyer with big stars, you know, and stationery, you know, the whole bit, you know, everything all the way down the line. Had voting choir, all the buildings and all the departments, everywhere, you know, and we got
didn't communicate.
We had to spend all the time. I thought we just planned those, but we had to spend all the time planning to really let them do it.
Yeah. Okay. These vocal choir campaigns and other things don't always communicate. One thing in our church, to give another example of this, we were trying to figure up a title for our daycare center. We wanted it to have a connotation of developing the child, you know, completely in all areas of his life, spiritual, mental, and so forth. And they came up with the title, Child Developmental Center. Well, nobody would come because they thought it was for people with special problems. And it had a negative communication. So, what you call things, communicate to. Okay, some things under that is you need to keep in mind the target. If it's whatever it is, and they just take dead aim at it. Try to understand what those people would respond to, what would really communicate to them. Keep it brief. And this is really something that I think is extremely important. If you can say what you want to say with one word, say it. You look at a page, for instance, like this. I'm finding it. I just look at it like this. You see, get a letter in the mail like that. And my first reaction if I get something like that is, unless it's something extremely significant, I won't even read it. You get a letter from somebody really asking you to do something, and it's a long, lengthy letter. If you're in a hurry, you just won't read it. My letters from my congressmen are like that. You know, they're 4 or 5 pages long, nothing but that. And I never read that thing. I would like to know some things, but I don't want to wade through all that. But if you can send out something, let's see if I can give you an example of something real brief. There's something that has a lot of just attention-getting thing, but a very brief message on it. If you can keep it as simple and as short as possible, I think that helps communicate. People can look at it and say, they got it. That's why billboards are such positive communicators, is because you can look at it and get the whole message just like that. write a newspaper article is not the best, because you have to wade through it. So that's important in publicity. Say it with one word if you can, and don't worry about trying to be poetic and make all the perfect sentences with punctuation and everything. Get to the point, I think, particularly in communicating with kids. Always answer these questions. Now, if you'll answer these questions, every piece of publicity you send out will always be complete. And that's true. And I'll ask who, what, when, why, where, and how. And when you start thinking through planning something, if you'll go through those steps mentally or even write them down, and if you can answer those questions, then you're ready to start sending publicity because you're prepared. That'll tell them everything they need to know about it. Very simple little thing. But you can leave out the when one time without thinking about it and avoid your whole publicity. Okay? Now use a simple focus point, like a picture, a word, or a special effect. All right? Now when you look at this, I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind when you look at it. Okay? That's who? All right, talk to you. It's for college career. You see that? You can't see it that far away. Yeah, it's singing with snow. And so the idea there is when you first glance at that, when you pick it up, it says college career fellowship, everybody's coming, and you got Christmas carols. And that's the thing that comes to me when I first look at it. And then you give the details of it. Borders sometimes can highlight things. I'm going to see if I can give you another one since that one failed. Okay, what's the first thing you see on the...
You're invited
to talk nothing. Okay. Invited to talk nothing in retreat. And those focus points, there are two ways in which most publicity is done. And if you'll study it, you'll see that that's true. Publicity basically gets a focus point at the top, and you read down, and the bottom line is usually the thing you want to focus on, most important. For instance, in major publicity, well, that's one way. Let me give you the other one, too. The other one is, you'll start like this, the Z principle. To give you an example of this publicity right here. And right here at the end of the Z will be the name of the company. They want you to focus on something and you'll read through it and you'll tell you where you can get it. And it gives an eye pattern. For instance, this is Have a Good Day. I tore this out of a book. And you see, the first thing you see is that picture. And then you read across there and then you'll come back down and read this and end up right here where you can get it. And that's a pattern that's used a lot in publicity. It makes your eyes just far. Now, if you have things that make your eyes start doing this, you know, it just isn't a quick, fast publicity. The other one is your solid focus point and leads you straight to what you want to read straight down the page. And basically, that's what this does. You see this part, and then it guides your eyes down here for you to make it. That's just a simple format on that. Now, let's see, where was it? Okay. A simple focus point. And then the idea of that is to create a desire to even read it first and then a desire to respond. And I just use a whole lot of pictures. If you look at all this stuff and little symbols and big words and things just to get a focus. And on an offset, it doesn't cost you a penny more than typing it. And it gets a whole lot more effect. Okay? Number D, it should be as efficient and economical as possible. One thing I found out from my secretary is there are many, many ways of getting across the same thing, and you can waste a whole lot of time and a whole lot of money if you don't really kind of study how long it takes to do something, how much of your secretary's time you eat up, how long it takes you to create something. You know, you mean, for instance, I'll give you an example. I tried to get by without buying any lettering, and like on this college career thing, I had some individual letters on a sheet, and you have to cut those out and make the words, you know. Now, you can do that, but that'll take you 30 minutes to put that together and get it on there. But you can buy fairly economically some press stick letters and other things that you can do that in just a very few minutes. That's the kind of economy I'm talking about. It may cost you a few pennies, but dollar for dollar of your time, which is becoming increasingly important to me and my secretary, that's a good investment to make it efficient and to get the thing done as quickly as possible. Study publicity and promotion of others and collect ideas. Man, you ought to get on everybody's mailing list that has anything going that you can do. Swap book is with them. And every week when I get mine, I go through and I look at some of the articles and I cut out their pictures. And I throw them in a box. And over several years, you've got a picture for any event you want to promote. And it doesn't cost you a thing except just sending them in your book, putting them on your magazine. And that's a good way. Another way is just look at things you get in the mail, in magazines, anybody's publicity, pick it up. For instance, this came in the mail the other day, advertising King's Dominion, a special rate thing they were having. That's a great picture that you use somewhere in something. And also, if we go to King's Dominion next year, I could probably will, there's a King's Dominion word that I can clip off and use. And so you can collect all kinds of ideas and stuff. Most people won't cost you anything and give some creativity to the thing. On magazines, I wouldn't know of anything like just wording or pictures or something like that.
Well,
it could be. Some of that could be.
Yeah.
For instance, something like this, the recurring mail didn't have any copyright on it at all. And if a magazine has copyright stuff in it, have copyright in front of it, that's a good point. Most copyright laws, as best I can understand them, have to do, or most people will object if you use it and reproduce it for sale. But if you simply use it, just like in something like this, for just this, there doesn't seem to be much question about it. That's my interpretation as far as except for music, all that. But I think something like this would come in. I don't think there's any problem at all with that. I know they wouldn't mind you using King's Dominion. They'd love to see that menu the way you put it. Okay, so just collect that kind of stuff. It takes you 5 minutes a week, and you can build it up. And then what you can do is start making you some file folders, little boxes, and separate them according to, like Christmas or Easter or month headings and so forth. You can get all kinds of stuff. Pictures of sports and whatnot. Now, professional sources, other than subscribing to other churches and things, on the back of here, I've got 5, 3, 6 sources for religious clip art. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. Some of you may know. For instance, this is a Harry Vogt clip art. This is fairly expensive. And once you get it, you can use it over and over again. And, of course, you buy the right to use this all you want to when you buy it. And they have all kinds of pictures. And most of theirs are two sizes. This is one on homes and buildings. And it has all kinds of clips and pictures that you can just clip out and mask up and use. Yeah, this is offset. Now, some of these companies have them available also for mimeographs. And so you can get them either way. And all you do is just cut a little hole, and glue that in. And it'll run off the picture on your mimeograph as well. But they have, for instance, these books come in all titles. And you can subscribe to it on a regular basis, like this one on children, autumn, fly things, like fly the fox and a picture fox and stuff like that. Here's one on sports, spring and summer sports, western, sports, hobbies, photography, and on down the line. And you can keep getting these. Now, these are not from Harry Vogt, are not church-oriented. They're commercial-oriented. But there's a lot of stuff in here you can use. And there's some you can't. Because some of it can have some very, very unusable type of stuff as far as the church is concerned. But that is one resource. Now, we bought this 1 year, and it'll probably last us a long time if you just pick it and then save everything that you mask up. I'll give you an example of that. Here's some that we've masked up. You take a picture, put it on there, and type up what you want to do, and you make your master from that. We have a metal master maker. And you just make that, and then once you finish with it, stick it back in there, and you can pull that picture off and use it again. You can use a set of rubber cement, or use it as a wax, hot wax thing, and they'll pull that off and you can use it over and over again. Mask up the big things like that, and you put your words inside. So forth. If you've done that, if you haven't, you come up and look at that some more. Study the cost of your options. You're talking about economical inefficient. Postage is a tremendous problem today. It's just getting out of sight. And so A lot of your publicity you can give out in, like, in Sunday school, have it ready and give it out through that way. We have a Wednesday night family supper, which gives us a great opportunity to provide some publicity there. You use the bulletin boards and main hallways and entranceways of the church. If they're kept up to date and changed regularly, people will look at them. If you put it up and leave it for a year, nobody's paying attention to it. But if it's changed regularly, something to get their attention, you know, hey, there's something different up there, you know, different color. That can be used. But postage is extremely important. And paper, the next item, is still not that high, not compared to postage. And so I think that careful study of the greatest use of postage is important. Now, one little thing that most of you may know is that if you get over 200 pieces, you don't have to go first class. So if you have to send somebody three to save money, that's super good. You have 175 pieces, they add 25 and send them to yourself, and you save the church a whole lot of money. Yeah, that's right. So that's the thing you can find out. Did any of you not know that about the special permit? All of you know that.
That's postage.
Yeah.
There's another
right that's keeping
me.
Non-profit. Yeah, there's a non-profit. Yeah, that's like a church. Yeah. That's like your church newspaper, and you make a contract with post office to send out, say, 50 regular things a year, excluding like the 4th of July and Christmas.
Yeah, but you can put it out every
year. Yeah, as long as
you
contract.
You have to put it out every year.
No, but what I'm saying is you have to give them the number of the
right
times a year that you'll do it. Yeah, that's right. So check with the post office on that and find out.
We send out a monthly newsletter. Does it work under that?
Yep.
We started out about 3 months ago paying 1.8 and
we had
1.9
and went to 2 cents. Check on it. I'm not real sure. I just know our secretaries have already done it and know what the cheapest way. So this is a non-profit organization posted to pay that we use on all things over 200.
Well, we
have
that too.
Yeah. That may be a cheap one. I'm not sure.
There is another way.
Yeah, that leads me to the next thing in just a minute. Your postage and your paper and your printing, like I said a while ago, you really do a study on this thing. I know at Green Street, where Al is, the Minister of Administration there, did a real study on this thing and found out they could buy an offset machine and do all their printing there and come out way ahead than by doing a duplication of some and sending some of it out for printing. And so you can do a study on this thing and really find out some ways to save some money. The preparation time it takes you to do things is extremely important. And the last thing that I want to say that led up to what he's talking about, it must be rightly timed. You can send publicity too early or too late. And you really need to be sure about that. If you've got a meeting on Sunday afternoon, they shouldn't get it on Saturday, necessarily. But if they got it on Monday, you know, that's too early. It just depends on the nature of the meeting and the group you're sending to. The timing is very significantly involved in that. Okay, now this last thing is a checklist. Just sort of the way I go through when I prepare publicity of any kind. Number one is long-range planning. Just be sure that I've got things planned, scheduled, and cleared on the church calendar. Be sure that it's going to happen before I publicize it. Enlist the guests and leaders. Be sure that make sure your publicity is complete and list those as early as possible and include them in your publicity. For instance, we did a super summer thing for Virginia last year, and this had to go out in January. We had to enlist our leaders in December so that we can send that publicity for the fall in July. That's good discipline. If you have everything prepared before you send publicity out, it'll help you a whole lot too. And so include people in it. Then make detailed plans, answer those 5 W's and the how. Gather all your facts to sit at the target booth, decide on the method and timing and cost, the vehicle, you know, if you're going to use a letter, if you're going to use a postcard, if you're going to use some special type of thing, you may want to roll it up and put it in a pew. I've seen people send mail outs like that from special thing to do it. Cut it in a half page and send them a half a letter, you know. Just all kinds of things to get attention. But the vehicle is important. Select focal point, what you really would get their attention, then build all the other information around that, prepare it, and proofread it. Proofread it. I'll play that. Because even though you write it down right and your secretary thinks you type it right, read every word, because it can give the wrong date, the wrong time, the wrong cost, and then your whole publicity is shot. You got to redo it all over again. And then disperse it or display it. And number at the end is take it down immediately when it's over. If you use anything that's displayed, take it down. When it's over, it ought to be down. And then be sure and evaluate, counting your mind, whether that worked or that not work, and so forth, like Sam mentioned a while ago. Okay, now, let me, come on up here, Hank. Hank, what you have something about using the photography. Here are some general things. An idea for variation on some publicity. And this little three pieces of paper folded that way can give you a very attractive and different little brochure, but it's just three pieces of paper the way it's folded. Four pieces of paper. Three and a half pieces of paper. I saw four colors there. Three and a half pieces of paper. Everybody does a half sheet. A little half sheet. So y'all can look at some of this stuff. Hank, I want you to share about using your camera.
Okay, I'll just say a few things that we have started, or I've done around our church. if you or somebody around your church is into 35mm, there's a good possibility that somebody in your church also has darkroom equipment that they're not using. And I found out about a guy about a year ago who we were talking about photography. He says, "Oh yeah, I have a bunch of darkroom equipment. We don't have any place for it in the house. It's just in a box." He says, "Is there any place for it at the church?" I was telling him, "We got a place for it." He says, "Well, if you want to use it, okay. We'll just, you know, set it up in the church." So we had a bathroom there in the activity building. It was never being used off where the skates are kept. And we made a darkroom out of it. No outside windows. There's water. And we got a sink out of a house, an old house. It's a big sink. And we did a thing about $25 and have a complete darkroom with all his equipment in it. There, and he can come use it anytime he wants to, and I can use it anytime I want to. But since that time, I found that about three or four other people have darkroom equipment that they're not using either. They just have it sitting up there. And quite a few people do that, especially the people that are moving around a lot. They'll have it in one house and then move to another house, and there's no place for it. They got lost in it. So you might check around if you're interested in getting into it. Use this for your publicity stuff that you're going to get printed up, your black and white thing, like any of this type of stuff here that has black and white. Now, a lot of this stuff you have to have screened. Do you have to have this stuff screened before you go on your...
Yeah.
Okay, does it cost you, or do you have to screen?
It costs.
Okay, it'll cost you a little bit. Now, you go like the Instaprint, they'll charge you like $6 to screen something like that. It'll get real expensive just for the one.
And you can get an independent place that just does that as well. Then do it for you.
Yeah, it's fine. Bulletin board, take a bunch of shots of something, and after the event or before the event, maybe like if you have a regular event type thing that you're going to publicize this next year, save your pictures or your negatives. And do a bunch of pictures and put them up on bulletin board, you know, show what we've done and what we got coming up. And then you can use slides for a real interest getter with kids. Of retreat, and if they were going to show the slides of the retreat, you know, for at the next door explosion or whatever. So bring your slides or movies. You know, a young life director up in Chicago that uses movies all the time. And his kids just do crazy things on movies, and they love the crazy things from us, you know, the Super 8 movies. And they use those to show what happened at the most recent camp, but then next year when camp time comes up again, they show the movies as part of publicity. And it's the same type of thing I use with a lot of these wilderness slides, is I'll run this slide presentation when it's time to start recruiting kids to go on the next new trip, is run the whole show. So I suggest you get into, if you got a camera, start using it. And look for resources in the church, people who take pictures. There might be some gracious people like we've got in our church that's been around this $500 Nikon camera anytime I want. And he doesn't care, you know. He says, yeah, what are you going to do with it? And he, sometimes I ask him, he says, I forgot who I lent it to last. And he has to call around and figure out where his camera is. And, well, you know, there's some people around there like that. And but if you already got a $30 camera, go ahead and start using it. Maybe get into some of some stuff. Black and white's real simple. And it doesn't cost much to do. You can do an 8x10. You can please go about the doctor and film and everything. And if you come across maybe 25 cents, 30 cents. You don't make mistakes this time.
And those cookies in, and they know the tape has up like that.
The other thing I've heard some people do, and we've done it one time, is if you're going somewhere new, like a retreat or a camp or something, one of the things I always do if I'm going to a retreat site that I've never used before is to go visit anyway. And just take the camera with you, take some pictures of things. And that's tremendously publicity. It says, hey, just some pictures, you know, where we're going to go on a retreat, and it's exciting too. Also, you can find some people in your youth group particularly. And I found that there are some quiet guys particularly that are interested in photography, and it'd be a way to use somebody that sometimes the pictures may not be great, but you can help to learn how to take pictures.
Yeah, I've done this on a couple of retreats. We just happened to be in the area. Well, I had have a retreat planned in the spring, but I knew we were going to have a summer camp at this spot, and we happened to be in the area for our pregnancy, and I took the kids by it, and it just helped tremendously. And we did go on a trip. We had like 20 kids on Dean and I retreat in the spring, and we went by Berry College here in North Georgia.
The
Ridgecrest, you see, use that idea here. They have two, four, six pictures on here. And, six pictures. And it has a recreation picture. It has and other trips, pictures of the main building, of the worship, of just relaxing, and so forth. And so all of them depict the different aspects of it. So that's a good publicity thing. How much does dark room equipment cost?
The size of the black and white is probably just average quality.
$200-$300 for a dark room equipment.
That's the equipment, huh?
I'm just talking
about
the case. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't really know.
There are a lot of guys in our youth group that have gotten to be real camera nuts. And two or three of them in particular, you know, I asked them to go and take pictures on the streets. It's like, they love it. Yeah. All of our banquets at the church, they're there clicking pictures for you. And I mean, all you do is just buy their camera.
Thanks. For anything you get run off like this, it has to be in black and white.
Well, you can do them in color.
That's not good.
But it depends. No, not as well. You can do some things in dark brown or dark colors and so forth. And it does fare, but black is the print is the best.
No.
You don't have some color things here. Let me show you one other thing I mentioned a while ago when we got into lettering. Anything else on photography? Okay, that's just a great way to publish it. Have y'all seen these transferable letters? Any of you not seen those? You just simply take that and put it on a piece of paper and take your pen and just mark over it and it'll transfer it right on. And you can do some neat lettering with that. We did on this, there's a blue brochure. Family Activities Ministry that's going around. And all of the big lettering in that is this transferable stuff, and it looks pretty much like printed ink as it comes out. So that's the resources on the back of your sheet there, too.
What?
Strip
printer. Take something like this and just put it right on it, put it right through and make your mask. That's the way yours work.
Mimeo mask.
Mimeo mask, yeah. They also, that same machine also makes transparency, right? How it does.
Yeah.
You just take that and just put it right through. Transparencies are good. I tell you a little secret. I don't know if y'all done this or not. Maybe I was just late discovering it. But like if you have a picture or something and you want to make a big banner or a big poster, make you a transparency, put it on your head projector, project it up on the wall, and you can display it whenever you want to. Make you all kinds of great posters and standards and stuff. Okay? Anything else? Oh, one other resource. Yeah. Adhesive type. We're talking about?
No, it's like the phone. They're on a piece of paper, cardboard, and they peel off and you just put them together.
I know what you're talking about. They have a little metal thing. I know what you're talking about. And you can buy trays with different letters, different things, and buy resources. Yeah, y'all got that.
Some resources
on the
back here, I think only had
My suggestion is just write a letter to all of them and ask them what they've got available and then you address stuff and have them glad. Now, EasyClip, are y'all familiar with EasyClip? When you first subscribe to them, they'll send you this free binder. And then you get pages, so many pages every month. And they have all kinds of clip things, you know, month things and pictures and articles. And this also I know comes in Mimeograph too. Yeah. This has been offset. Of course, you get to use it. I've gotten a lot of stuff out of here. What is it called? Today. It seemed like to me it was $12 or $15 a year. It's probably higher than that now. I don't know. Because I haven't bought this for a year, so I collected it for 2 or 3 years, and then it didn't take it for a year because I had so much left. But that's another possibility. Some of the things like that come from Perry Boats, if y'all want to see what he's got, I have a little catalog. That's the one that's in this metal box. And he has special, for instance, occasions where you can order so many of a different particular one you want without like subscribing to it. You can get you some on sports or some on autumn or something like that. Here's one, Dynamic Graphics. And these commercial ones are all fairly expensive. And then here's a Christian one called Stencil. It's on that thing. What's it called? MA Religious Design. And they have stationery and all kinds of little stuff.